So we're in batch number 4 of local news and features, the final batch with myself and Liz, although we've got some more batches coming up with myself and Uta. So I've got 4 story headlines for you, and we're also, after those, we're going to have the answers to Liz's one and only quiz. So my headlines coming up, we've got Stoke-on-Trent Care Firm creating 50 jobs in 12 months, and we've got heartbroken family barred from seeing dad in Chapel of Rest after a horror crash. And Liz has coming up.
It's a relief knowing she's gone, say neighbours as police evict resident. Staffordshire women with agonising condition waiting 7 years for diagnosis.
And before we go into the stories for you in batch number 4, we have the one and only quiz answers with Liz.
Number 1. According to Bassett's, Boofalls, Baby Bonnie and Bubbles are among the individual names of which confectionery items? And the answer is Jelly Babies. Number 2. In Kipling's The Jungle Book, what is the name of the Black Panther who serves as a friend, protector and mentor to Mowgli?
Oh, I know that one.
What? What?
It's Bagheera.
Did you know Jelly Babies?
Yeah.
We well, didn't say you knew that one.
No, but I've got 2 Bagheeras in my bag. I'm a massive fan of Bagheera.
My partner, when I asked him the first question, he said, licorice all sorts. It's one of licorice all sorts have names. I tried this out on him. So he got Bagheera right.
Oh, right, I love Bagheera. Many,
he got the next one right. See if Tim gets it right. What male and female first names have become stereotypes of Australian characters widely used in jokes or comic sketches?
Don't know, I should know this, but I can't think of it.
Bruce and Sheila.
Oh, Bruce and Sheila, yeah.
Number 4. Maputo is the capital and largest city of which former Portuguese colony? And my bonus clue, the only country in the world whose name contains all 5 vowels. We're waiting for Tim's answer.
It's not the one I'm thinking of.
Well,
go
what
on.
Is the one you're thinking of?
The wrong one. Go on. What's
Mozambique.
One? Yeah, no, it wasn't
That's
the wrong
got
one.
Got all the vowels. Number 5. The Allied invasion of French North Africa during the Second World War was known under what name?
I don't know that one either.
Operation Torch. Mm. Number 6. Which British artist painted The Blue Boy? Thomas Gainsborough.
This is quite hard this week.
Jeff got most of these.
Yeah, but he's
I only do what I know. If I don't know the answer, I don't do them because I think they're too hard.
Oh, okay.
Number 7. In what form of horse racing are horses not required to jump obstacles?
I don't know that one.
Everyone would know that.
What's that?
Flat racing.
Oh, flat.
That's what I put in as an easy question. Flat racing.
I don't know much about racing.
Number 8. Which 2 colours are confused in the most common form of colour blindness? Jeff didn't know this.
Is yellow one of them?
Nope.
What are they then?
Red and green.
No, I didn't know that.
And
either.
I'm concerned about my granddaughter because she knows all her colours and they're the two she gets mixed up.
Or maybe she got some of them.
Well, my daughter some said that blindness. To the health visitor who foo-fooed it.
Yeah.
But she did it with some traffic lights yesterday. So
maybe
I
keep an eye on it.
Yeah. She's not driving yet. She's only 2. Number 9. Which infectious disease was once treated with quinine?
I don't know that one either.
Malaria?
No.
What is the... not doing very well, Tim.
I'm not on this one.
What is the highest mountain range entirely in Europe?
No, I don't know that one.
The Alps?
Alps.
Bonus. How many degrees are there in a semicircle?
90.
No, that's the right angle. 180. I'm not impressed with Tim.
I'm not good.
To answer people, well, whatever.
It all went downhill after Bagheera.
If I don't know an answer, I have these quiz questions, and if I don't know, I think it's too hard. Or if the only one I didn't know, but I thought it was topical, and Jeff knew, was Operation Torch.
It all went downhill after Bagheera.
Yeah, I think I knew the other. Jeff wasn't sure about Thomas Gainsborough.
I'm very good with entertainment, like entertainment as my specialist
subject.
Oh,
I don't do entertainment. Yeah. It's all celebrities and I'm not interested in them.
Right, I'm going to do... Well done if you got all those right. And if not, have a go at Timbo Strivet or Liz's.
What, is yours all entertainment then?
No, there were ones from this sort of
nice
general knowledge quiz.
So, my birthday present I gave him that he actually liked. He usually moans.
Yeah, although it's a bit of a worky present, but it is still quite good. I might use them at Christmas, actually. I might remember to take them and you use them at Christmas and we can like sort of test people things. But I'm not going to go through them now, but I will show them to you which ones I'm going to do and see if you know them or not.
Right. Okay. All right.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to do the first story for you. I keep knocking the microphone with my glasses. I need to move it around a bit. So the first story is Stoke-on-Trent care firm creating 50 jobs in 12 months. Bosses with a care home care firm are aiming to take on 50 new recruits over the next 12 months. Shawcare, Stoke-on-Trent, sends carers out to the city, along with Newcastle, and businesswoman Lily Mann, who set up the Fenton-based business, is rapidly growing its workforce. It comes as the company has secured its registration with the Care Quality Commission, and Lily of Market Drayton and manager Michelle Blunt have taken on a senior care worker and two further care workers. They're aiming to employ 50 members of staff within a year to meet the needs of local people, which includes a mix of private paying and local authority clients. For Lily, the business is a labour of love. After needing the care of her family when she had a chronic health condition, she is also pleased to have listed Michelle, who had previously worked at a different home care provider where she had risen to the rank of general manager. Lily said, "I'm delighted to welcome Michelle to the Shore Care team. She has a wealth of experience, great knowledge, and shares my drive to deliver high quality home care to people in Stoke, Newcastle-under-Lyme, Hanley and Tunstall. We have spent the last couple of months putting in place all our systems and processes, and we're now starting to get on board clients. We can offer full domiciliary care packages as well as non-regulated services such as cleaning, shopping and helping clients to continue living as an independent life as possible. For example, attending functions and other activities. We are there not only for the client but also for the wider family, such as allowing a son or daughter to focus on spending quality time with a parent while we take care of the day-to-day requirements. I want Shore Care Stoke-on-Trent to be known for providing great care, the best possible communication, innovation and where appropriate using technology to enhance a client's experience." Michelle added, "We're passionate about reaching out to clients across the whole of our area, ensuring that everyone can access the best possible care no matter where they live. There is an older demographic in Stoke and the surrounding areas, with many people having previously worked in industries such as mining, potteries and steel. We're also looking forward to creating jobs in the area and are looking for care workers with the same passion to deliver true person-centred care, and we want Shore Care to be the go-to company for all your home care service needs." So over to Liz now, who's going to do her first story for us in batch number four.
"It's a relief knowing she's gone," say neighbours, as police evict resident. Neighbours have said they are relieved that a closure order has been granted following months of unrest. Residents on Buckthorn Drive have said the nuisance neighbour has been there for 8 months. The house is on the newly built Hollington Grange estate, where houses are selling for more than £200,000. Residents say they have had to put up with antisocial behaviour, drug use and other criminal activity. Staffordshire Police secured the three-month closure order in partnership with Stoke-on-Trent City Council at a hearing at North Staffordshire Justice Centre. The order prohibits access to the property or risk possible imprisonment or a fine. Neighbour Jack Bodden, who moved into his property 8 months ago, said, "It's been really, really stressful. We've lived here 8 months with this lady throwing out abuse, calling me a paedophile, calling my neighbour a paedophile, telling us we need to get our devices checked. All different people turning up here. We've had 15, 20 cars, sometimes more, and maybe 20 people at a time. Like I say, it's a relief knowing she's gone. We've been working very hard with the police. I mean, God knows the amount of calls we've made to them. Jack added, you'd think with a new build house like this, this is how we looked at it. You've got a nice house. You can set yourself up. We're better here than where we were before without this. There are people out there with kids who have been on the waiting list for ages. Sergeant Vicky Welsh from North Stoke LPT said, everyone living in our towns and cities should feel safe in their surroundings, and we are committed to tackling any type of antisocial behaviour. This is welcome news to everyone involved in securing this order, particularly our problem-solving lead, PC Paul Seddon, who has worked tirelessly alongside other members of the problem-solving team on this. We have already received positive feedback from members of the community, and we will continue to work with our partners to take action against those who cause persistent problems to residents across Stoke-on-Trent. The activity follows Staffordshire Police's Making Great Places initiative alongside the council, aimed at tackling the main priorities affecting residents and acting robustly on local concerns as part of our vision in making Stoke-on-Trent a cleaner, safer, healthier and wealthier place for everyone. Councillor Majid Khan, Cabinet Member for Safe and Resilient Communities, said, another great success for restoring peace within the community and outstanding collaborative work between our own ASB team and Staffordshire Police. Local officers have supported local residents throughout and have gathered the evidence required to get this order in place. Every single one of us has the right to feel safe where we live, work and visit. I ask anyone who may have concerns about activity taking place where they live to report it. Together, we can tackle the problems and provide support to those who need it.
Brilliant. Many thanks for that. So my final story now is heartbroken family barred from seeing dad in chapel of rest after horror crash. The grieving family of a council grass cutter killed at the work remains devastated after their loved one's death. An inquest has this week ruled out that Stoke-on-Trent City Council worker Craig Poynton died as a result of a road traffic collision. The 50-year-old from Snead Green had been cutting grass verges when he was struck by a van towing a trailer and being driven by a colleague on Canal Lane in Longport in 2022. He suffered fatal head injuries after working for the council for 25 years. The family remain unhappy that the van driver, Robert Dean, who had only worked at the council for 5 weeks, did not attend the inquest. The inquest heard that Stoke-on-Trent City Council has tightened procedures following the tragedy. Changes include a 45-minute competency driving test, which is now signed off by another department, records stored on a database, and tighter rules around the corporate induction for new starters. In a statement following the inquest, Craig's loved one said, as a family, we are appalled that it has taken nearly 2.5 years to get to the final inquest as discussed in court, despite having no documented proof of being able to drive with a trailer and no sign risk assessments. Robert Dean was still allowed and instructed to take out a van and trailer, which on this day resulted in our dad's death. We were even more heartbroken when we were told that our dad's injuries were so severe that we would be the first family in 29 years to not be able to see our father at the Chapel of Rest. We have been completely taken aback throughout this entire ordeal. So over to Liz now, who's going to do the final story for us in Batch 4.
Staffordshire women with agonising condition waiting 7 years for diagnosis. Women suffering an agonising medical condition which can lead to infertility are being left waiting more than 7 years on average for a diagnosis, a report by Staffordshire councillors has revealed. And since the COVID pandemic, some women with endometriosis have endured a wait of almost 9 years for diagnosis and treatment. A women's health working group at Staffordshire County Council is now hoping to raise more awareness of the condition for men and boys, as well as girls and women. Its report on endometriosis and the experiences of women affected by the condition includes recommendations to share findings with Keele University, raise awareness of women's health issues through education in schools, and consider offering more support on women's issues such as gynaecological conditions at the County Council's family hubs. The report said, endometriosis is a condition where tissue that is meant to grow only in the uterus, endometrial tissue, grows elsewhere, causing inflammation, bleeding, and the formation of scar tissue. It is one of the most common gynecological conditions, affecting around 1 in 10 females of reproductive age, equating to around 1.5 million women nationally. It can lead to infertility, chronic pain, and reduced quality of life. Laparoscopy is the only definite investigation to confirm the presence of endometriosis due to variance in clinical presentation. Councillor Janice Sylvester Hall, who chaired the Women's Health Strategy Working Group, told the meeting that endometriosis was chosen to be the group's focus because of the lack of profile it had. She added, from the data that was provided, it often requires over 8 years and countless GP appointments before a diagnosis can be made. There are still stigmas and taboos about what people will and will not discuss. I think that's one of the ways we can, in our own capacities, try and help to make that less of a case. One of the recommendations is this report is shared with Keele University, as well as our district and borough councils. Another is to put it through onto the GP's training syllabus, which it isn't at the moment. That was a recommendation that came through from a GP in particular. Councillor Anne Edgeler, who was part of the working group, said, you go through life learning, and as a woman at the age I am, I learned a lot from this. I didn't realise what an effect it could have on a woman's life and the health impact it has on them. Knowing that it takes 8 years to get any sort of help is absolutely ridiculous. And when I look back at being in charge of two offices with 30 women in each office many years ago, I didn't realise that this existed and the problems women were having when they came and said they were in pain. Fellow working group member Jill Hood spoke of the experience of a woman she knew who had endometriosis. She said, endometriosis begins when females are quite young. They begin the trail of medical services by going along to their doctor. It's normally a male doctor, and they're lucky if it is a female doctor, who tells them to get a grip. Then comes the prescriptions, the antidepressants. Oh, you're low. No concern for the condition whatsoever, and it's demoralising for them. You would think once they have a child it ends. It doesn't. It gets much worse. But she's lucky. A lot of females suffering with the condition become infertile. They're not able to have a child, and that is absolutely devastating. They're misdiagnosed. They're force-fed antidepressants. What this group has done to help this cause is incredible. And to actually read it in print, how it affects females. Group member Councillor Julia Jessel said there had been a huge shift in society. When I was younger, it was, take an aspirin and get on with it, she added. Now our economy and society has a far different view of women. Women are an essential part of the workforce. And if you feel like death warmed up, it's very difficult to go to work, sit at a desk, stand in a shop, or do anything if you're feeling really, really low. I think the shift in how our society operates has really reinforced that this is an issue that can't be swept under the carpet. Doesn't just go by having a good walk and fresh air. It's not just an NHS issue. We should be raising this with Keele University to say, can somebody start doing some research to find a cure for this? Other members of the Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee welcomed the report. Councillor Charlotte Atkins said, I think what it does is highlight the huge gap between health outcomes for men and women, and the fact that women's diagnoses are frequently very long-term before they're recognised as being an issue. That comes with many women not presenting themselves to a GP, getting on with a very busy life. It also identifies the deprivation gap as well, the fact that women living in more deprived environments find that they are doubly disadvantaged by their circumstances. We've known for a very long time that there is this gender gap in terms of health outcome. This, by focusing as it does identify that it's not just a national problem, it's a local problem as well. Hopefully, it will mean that women are more demanding of their GPs and their health service to ensure that women's diagnoses are prioritised, so there is some sort of equality between outcomes for men and women. Councillor Stephen Norman said, "It was the most depressing read I've had on this committee. The awareness has got to be improved. I felt so bad that it is little known and little work has been done on it. I know women have a raw deal. Hopefully this excellent work that has been done by the group is something that can be acted on and improved on." Committee Chairman Councillor Richard Cox said, "It is very sobering. If you're a member of the opposite gender, I didn't know very much about it until I read this report. There is still a lot of learning that we can all be doing. I think we should add to the recommendation to share the report with Keele University for research to be conducted."
Wonderful stuff. Well, that is it for batch number four and for my time reading with Liz. She's going to say a quick bye now. She's off on her holidays next week. She's off to Barcelona, which sounds really exciting. And then she'll be back to read for us in a few weeks' time, because we'll be doing the next one on the 4th of December.
Oh,
2024. And we'll be in the Christmas mode by then. And Liz is such a Christmassy person and loves it so much.
No, let me explain. I like Christmas. What I don't like is Christmas starting in the middle of September, when you see Christmas cards, when you go for a birthday card and you can't find one because there's Christmas cards.
I don't like that.
And then from the middle of November, it's all, as soon as Halloween finishes, it's all, and I object to Halloween as well, that's very American. It's all Christmas for 2 months.
I think it
should
start in November, because I'm ready for it in November. I'm not ready for it in September.
Well, I don't agree with you. Christmas, I don't do anything till the 1st of December.
Yeah, but loads of people want to do early Christmas shopping, don't they? So
you can go Christmas shopping. You don't need all the jingle bells and everything in the shops that surround it.
It's just a way of making extra money, isn't it? But there we go. Anyway, have a lovely time in Barcelona.
Thank you.
And we will see you in a few weeks' time.
Lovely.
And keep listening. I will be back reading with Uta, and then we have lots of great things coming up for you, including the entertainment segments.